Welcome to the Travel Pulse Podcast, your go-to listening for everything travel. Here are your Travel Pulse hosts, Eric Bowman and Dan Callahan.
Happy Travel Tuesday, podcast listeners. This is Dan Callahan with the Travel Pulse Podcast. And this week, we got a special international episode as co-host Eric Bowman, managing editor of TravelPulse.com, is coming to us live in the flesh from the Dominican Republic. Eric, how is the Dominican Republic treating you?
Oh, wonderful, Dan. It is beautiful, as always, here. Loving my time here. And the trip down here wasn't so bad. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. First, we're going to talk about what's trending. But actually, before that, Dan, you're on vacation last week, twice in 1 month, man. I'm very jealous of that. But how was the domestic travel experience for you?
You know, it was good. You know, going in and out of airports were no problem. You know, I was taking note of the mask stuff. I know I asked you previously to go in, like, how was it wearing a mask? Because, you know, I had to put it on from the minute I got on the shuttle going to the airport until you left the destination's airport. And it wasn't bad at all. You know, a little annoying just having to adjust here or there. Obviously, on the flight, they weren't doing any food or beverage service. You know, it was a quick flight anyway, so it wasn't that big of a deal. I did notice a lot of people, you know, in the airport, at least in Philly's airport, was very kind of loosey-goosey with putting on the masks as far as like sitting at tables. People, you know, if you're sitting at the table, you know, you could take it off to eat and drink. But in the area where you're getting on the plane, people, if they were sitting down, would take them off. There's nobody really policing it or saying it. So it's kind of like, you know, some people had them only around their mouth looking like a chin strap, you know, not covering their noses. You know, it was kind of, you know, all over. I mean, it didn't make me uncomfortable. I was just noting and just observing a couple of, you know, here and there, little things like that. But overall, very good travel experience. Obviously, highly recommend domestic travel. You know, unless all of that, if you're, you know, extremely paranoid and still very concerned about all of that, I mean, obviously you could avoid some of the one-off people not wearing masks or just not wearing them properly, unless you want to get into an argument with somebody in the middle of an airport. You can easily avoid them. But overall, I can't complain about the experience, especially since I was able to get cheap flights thanks to previous guest Scott Kies of Scott's Cheap Flights was able to help out with that. So definitely keep an eye out on those. But yeah, let's get into the what's trending. Speaking of air travel experiences, there's been quite a few moves in the airline sector this week, right?
Yeah, speaking of saving money, people love that. And one way you can save money in the future now is if you have to change things up. Airlines have now eliminated the change fees. So United was the first to announce this on Sunday. Then Delta and American Airlines soon followed after. So the major three, they're changing up their policies in effect on that. So pretty smart move on this. I think Delta and American were a little bit pressured into doing this after United did it. Great PR move for United on that. All three of them are going to offer complimentary rebooking on all domestic tickets except basic economy, extending the policy permanently. And the airlines have extended complimentary rebooking for all tickets through the end of 2020. American and Delta are offering credits to passengers who switch to less expensive flights. And American and United are applying the new policy to award travel. Americans actually including the travel to Canada, Mexico, and the Caribbean. So in addition, American and United are offering passengers the option of standing by for an earlier flight for the same day on the same day at no charge. So good stuff from the airlines. I think this is a way to drive sales and kind of pique interest in flying.
Yeah, I think it was definitely between those three. I mean, they were probably all just waiting to see, okay, who's going to do it first? And I'm surprised they waited for somebody to actually do it because they got the brunt of the good PR from it, as United did there. I did love reading, well, obviously, like you said, Delta and America just did it because, you know, you look at any other business out there, like social media stuff, you see Facebook change their news feed a little bit, and then what do you know? There's Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever else changing theirs as well. They all follow suit. They all follow, and let's follow the leader with a lot of these types of businesses. And Americans just, you know, their whole statement, like, we're going to, you know, because we understand that people this and we want to make everything so much better. It's like, nah, you kind of just had to follow up what United was doing. I mean, you can just flat out say it.
Right, because, like, yeah, if you don't, then it's really bad PR on your side of like, well, why aren't you doing this when everyone else is doing
exactly.
it?
Exactly, so, yeah.
Just today, Alaska did announce that they're doing it, so I'm sure, you know, this is September 1st here. Happy September, by the way. Holy cow, 2020 flying by. I'm sure other airlines will follow suit, too. I don't know about Southwest or Frontier or any of those folks who, or overseas, if they want to do it. it remains to be seen, but yeah. I imagine this could be kind of an industry-wide thing. So.
Yeah, I would like to see if the low-cost carriers do it, mainly because they make a lot of their money on fees like that. I would like to keep an eye out. People, keep your eye out there if any other things, you know, rise in price, whether it's bag, you know, fees or other things, you know, if they just wipe off change fees. I know billion-dollar companies don't like to just, you know, stop taking people's money, whether or not they raise something somewhere else, they do a quiet move in other areas. You know, we'll be able to see if that's a thing. The one thing to note on that is that they're not for like the lowest level tickets of just your standard economy tickets that I noted. These are pretty much for the, you know, second to lowest tiers and above, whatever they are in every single airline. It's, they call them something different, but the, you know, very standard economy tickets, that these change fees being eliminated don't apply to those. Is that, that's correct, right, Eric?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the one thing I wanted to make sure across the board. I was looking at American specifically just because they're the hub here in Philly. I don't fly United and Delta a lot, but I'm pretty sure that's across the board for them. Just one thing to note, although we'll see if it goes across the rest of the industry. And United was also in the news as well. The CEO came out saying that he believes that the air travel demand is going to return once there is a vaccine. So, Eric, what are your thoughts on, you know, make, obviously, you know, it's, you know, I don't think there's, he's not wrong there, right? Is there anything beyond there that you kind of saw or have thoughts on?
I have to agree with that. I mean, I think air travel, you get a vaccine, I think all of travel will pick up. You know, it's that peace of mind that we talked about so many times on the show here, is that, you know, once people can realize that they, a lot of people who are timid right now, because there are people traveling out there. I've been out just, you know, for work person. I've had some personal trips as well as you have, Dan. So you see that there are people okay in traveling right now, but the bulk of, you know, regular travelers and a lot of people who wanted to do summer vacations, they didn't, or they did a very modified summer vacation and they drove somewhere and they didn't fly internationally, or they didn't even go down to the Caribbean or even Mexico, even though Mexico's restrictions are way easier, I guess, to get through than say the Caribbean, whether you got to provide a negative COVID test and things like that. So yeah, once you get a vaccine in place and people start taking that, and they're going to feel more comfortable going, okay, I can venture out, you know. And then once you get the vaccine, I think a lot more restrictions will come up. You know, maybe we actually, as soon as the vaccine comes out, we'll be able to go to Europe. Maybe we'll be able to go to Europe before that. I don't know. That also remains to be seen. Don't really have any updates there, unfortunately. Americans are still banned. But yeah, once the vaccine is in place, I think people are going to be a lot more comfortable in getting out there and wanting to get out there and spending their what dollars they have saved.
Yeah, and that's what I want to see with the vaccine coming out, is what would that change? Like, let's say there is a vaccine out, obviously the availability of it and how many people can get a hold of it, how long that would take for the masses to really take it. And then what's going to happen from there? Are airlines or certain countries going to require that you had the vaccine to go there? And is that going to limit them because not everybody might have immediate access to it? You know, but this is all stuff just, you know, obviously that could still be months and months away before something like that comes out. Obviously it could help, but you know, what other restrictions and policies and stuff could come up once that's, you know, starting to get out there. Like you said, has yet to be seen and is something that we will keep our ears glued to here, as that would be a major move for travel. And you know, our last piece here talking about airlines, you know, airlines still want to bail out in order to avoid laying off anybody else. Obviously, for airlines to continue doing what they're doing and getting people to the destinations, Eric, you wouldn't be able to get to the DR unless you were an Olympic swimmer. So luckily you need that airline to get there. And obviously we need them to stay in business, and whether or not a bailout could be coming from the Trump administration to help them with an executive order here to give airlines another bailout. We've heard from a lot of agents saying that they definitely want that. I was kind of pushing more for maybe we could use some travel agencies could get some bailouts, or everyday Americans could, but I understand that airlines could definitely use them, and we need them for the travel industry to stay afloat. So you have any other thoughts on that one there, Eric?
I mean, I'm with you, man. The airlines do not need a bailout right now. They got the first one. They need to press forward. You have to deal with it as so many other people are dealing. You know who does need a bailout? You know who needs more help from the government? It's travel agencies.
Yep, and that's exactly what I was pushing for before as well. And I think airlines, they can shift and move their business models. They're billion-dollar companies that have a lot of people that would be able to figure out how to stay afloat, I think, personally. I think the travel agencies, especially a lot of independent home-based agents that don't have, $1 billion worth, companies that have, all these, massive teams that would be able to fight legislation and do all this different things for them. I think those companies and people running those companies could use help first, which they, I think, other than the initial round of stuff that came out months ago when we covered it, I think there needs to be a second round of that first. So absolutely, I agree with you there. And while we're talking about, traveling, getting to popular tourism destinations, I know a lot of destinations, these updates come through. We always have some every single week of who's doing what and what policies are in effect and who's opening to the U.S. visitors. For all the travelers and travel advisors listening for their clients out there, what are some of the updates that you've seen and heard from some of the popular destinations around the world?
For sure, Dan. It's almost never ending. The news just doesn't stop, especially with, ongoing restrictions and new protocols in place and everything. So a few updates on that. Thailand is now considering October for reopening international tourism. The last news we had on that was they were considering pushing back to 2021 and a period, which would be sad, but now they're considering October. So that remains to be seen. I think a lot is going to happen over the next few weeks and then Thailand can make a push and announcement. So we'll definitely have that up on Travel Pulse when we hear more from there. Speaking of another destination that is actually pushing back to 2021, Bali is saying no tourism until 2021. Costa Rica has now expanded its list of authorized U.S. states for visitors. So only Americans from certain states can visit. Initially, it was only six states up in your area, Dan. And now it's actually branched out to 12. No idea when they will, allow all of the U.S. in. They're treating that as a case-by-case basis, which is pretty an interesting take there for a destination and not what you're really seeing from others around the world. Some are just saying, hey, bring your negative COVID test and you're good to go. And Costa Rica is saying, these states are okay. And everywhere else, no. Belize will open up tourism on October 1st, which is good. They initially, I think, wanted to get out in August, but they kept pushing back. And now they've set a date for October 1st. So really, fingers crossed that holds up and holds true and sticks with that. Hawaii will now require travelers to fill out a safe travels application. As I mentioned on a few weeks ago, I think it was last week's episode, while you were out, Dan, Hawaii pushed back and they're not opening tourism until October 1st as well. And if you're going to go, you now have to fill out a safe travels application there. And then here in the Dominican Republic, they will soon eliminate the requirement for negative COVID test by the end of September, actually. So will more Caribbean destinations follow their lead? That remains to be seen, but that could be a possibility if the DRC's bookings increase with this change, at the end of September. And then if they don't see any outbreaks or a rise in positive COVID tests at all. So good insight on that. So.
Yeah, and while we're talking about some of the destinations and requirements to go there, I think just wanted to mention real quickly, one of the biggest stories that we've had in the past week was the story that came out from the CDC about them quietly dropping their mandatory 14-day quarantine after traveling for a lot of the U.S. states. Actually, it wasn't just the U.S. states. It's just they had this mandatory quarantine of 14 days, but they dropped that and they made it, an advised one, which in New Jersey, where I'm at, they've had this advised 14-day quarantine for certain states, and the list has changed a lot. And they quietly dropped that one. So I'm not sure how many other states out there have mandatory quarantine ones in effect, but, a lot of them are saying, we're going off what the CDC is saying, and if the CDC quietly dropped the mandatory quarantine because they said that the same protocols that you follow on a daily basis are fine after you return from travel. So if states out there still do have mandatory quarantines in effect and they follow the CDC orders, then are they changing them to follow the CDC's new recommendations? I'm with the CDC on that. Just following the same protocols that people do on a daily basis will limit and stop the spread of it, whether you come from one state versus another. So I'm with them on that. And that was just by far and away the most popular story of the past week. A lot of interesting information there and a good find to see that they quietly dropped that. So Eric, any thoughts on that, or do you want to get right into what we're talking about with the DR?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it a little bit on last week's show when the news first dropped. So, and then that story just blew up pretty much the entire week as people were all over it as far as the mandatory. It is still recommended by the CDC that you do quarantine if you're going to be traveling internationally. So when I get back from the DR, I will be posted up in my home and just chilling and hanging out. at first, and then I think I might actually just get a negative, or get, well, let's hope it's negative, get a COVID test and then go from there, because Labor Day weekend is next weekend and I am supposed to go to the lake. So I think I'll just jump right into a COVID test and go from there. You know, if that comes back negative, I feel a lot safer about going out and about my business. You know, it is not mandatory now, recommended from the government. It is only a recommendation. So people are going to do what they want to do, as we've seen all throughout 2020 so far, and how people are reacting to sort of these recommendations or requirements and restrictions and protocols in place. So,
well, look at it this way. If you have an event coming up in the next few weeks that you don't want to go to, you know, it's one of your spouse's college friends' birthday parties or something else, and you just don't want to go to it, travel internationally real quick, come back and just say, listen, I got to follow these recommendations. I just got to hunker down at home. Sorry, can't make it. So this is a very good way to get out of different events that you don't want to go to. I agree with you on that. Hopefully you get a negative test there and you can still enjoy the lake. And right now, with you being in the DR, I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about how that experience has gone. I was just in the DR myself, well, almost a year ago now at this point. I was there the tail end of 2019. And now I'm seeing it's September, as you mentioned, and kind of almost coming up on a year since I've been there. So your experience, let's just talk a little bit about you going through, because obviously you're flying out of Atlanta, one of the busiest airports. How was it just getting there, going through there, traveling internationally, security, the whole bit? What was that like?
I mean, security was a breeze. I was literally the only person in line. So I go in through the international terminal at Atlanta, which I try to go in through most times if I can, just because it is a little bit less, especially now. I did notice, though, that there were, as I parked my car, there were a lot more cars this time than there were a month ago when I went to Cancun. So I pulled in and I was like, crap, maybe I should have got here 15 minutes earlier and, tried to find a better parking spot or what. But it was fine. Got in. Security was a breeze. Like I said, I was the only person in there. So I guess a lot of people had already gone through over the weekend and were posted up and their cars were there. So could have been a different story if I was traveling out on Saturday or Sunday. Not really sure there. But again, security was a breeze. Well, made it through in no time. Had plenty of time to get some breakfast and then just wait for my flight. As of right now, as I mentioned earlier, it'll change at the end of the month, but you have to have a negative COVID test to arrive in the Dominican Republic. If you didn't get a test, then you had to get one while you're at the airport here in the DR. So I had my test last week and got my results in 2 days and I was good to go. Had that paper secured up. Around the Atlanta airport, you know, everyone's wearing masks. It was the same last month. I didn't really see anyone breaking the rules or, you know, trying to be belligerent with anything. No naughty passengers. I mean, I did see people with like the neck gaiters and like masks with valves and everything, which I know from, you know, just being in the news that those have been, I guess, banned. They're required against, but it doesn't appear that Delta or anyone is really enforcing those, that you can't wear those. I think they're just like, whatever, they have a mask, so be it, even though their official requirement is actually that you're not supposed to. So I would stick to just wearing a regular mask and not those to avoid anything. You know, just because someone did get away with it that you're hearing from me, I would recommend that you wear the mask that you're supposed to wear. On the plane, I got lucky again and had the whole row to myself. I actually moved a row behind me because it was the exit row and nobody was in it. So I asked a flight attendant, I said, hey, can I move back here? And she was totally fine with it, explained the rules of the exit row as they do. And then I had more room and I fell asleep it's a 3-hour flight from Atlanta to Punta Cana. And I fell asleep for the first 2 hours and then just had the last hour and filled out some of the paperwork. There was additional paperwork that you had to, you know, a health screening thing that you had to fill out, which is the same way it was in Cancun. Once I got here and I landed, you know, walked into immigration, people were doing pretty well as far as being socially distant in that line, which is really good to see because back in Atlanta, no one really gave a crap about being socially distant when I got my food once again, and no one was caring about being socially distant during the boarding process and lining up, which is frustrating to see because like being socially distant is like the easiest thing you can do is like, you know, don't stand so close to me. I kept singing that song in my head. Don't stand so close to me. You know, yeah. I was like, just get away from me, man. Once I got here in the DR though, and then the Punta Cana airport, immigration was good. I started walking through the line and then I noticed that, some people were going left and some people were going right as we like were already going through a little, you know, snake draft line there. And once I got up to the lady, she asked, she was like, do you have your COVID test results? And I said, yes. And she pointed and I went to the left, but two people ahead of me, I guess they didn't have one and they went to the right. So, you know, I did think about not getting a COVID test at all so I could experience what it was like being tested at the airport. But at the same time, I was like, I don't want to run the risk of being an asymptomatic person because I have no symptoms, you know? I don't want to run the risk of being, of getting that and then finding out I'm positive here because I am here for work and I have a lot of stuff to do. So, you know, I made sure to do that ahead of time.
Well, here's a question for you then. So, so they require it to be, to enter into the country. Nobody asked to see that when you were in Atlanta boarding the plane. Like, you didn't ask to pull that out then. It was just only until you actually landed in Punta Cana, they asked to see that negative test.
Well, here's the thing. They didn't actually ask to see it. She asked if I had a COVID test done. Uh-huh. So then I'm thinking, okay, once I get up to the immigration counter, you know, they stamp my passport and everything, and I hand them the regular papers you're supposed to hand them and the health questionnaire one, they'll ask for it. And I actually kept that in my bag because I was like, all right, I want to see if they ask for this, if they, what the protocol is, what the system that they're doing is. And no, he didn't even ask for that. He took my passport, stamped that, took the immigration stuff, slid back the paper that I have to give, you know, on my way out, and never said a word to me about negative COVID test or anything. So thought that was pretty intriguing. And I talked to a couple. So I'm here at the Hyatt Ziva in Zilara Cap Cana, and there's like 40 travel agents here on a fam. And I asked a couple of travel agents too, you know, on the transfer bus over and at dinner last night, like, hey, what was your experience? Like, did anybody ever ask for your paperwork or anything? And most of them said no. One guy said he didn't get COVID tested. He was just going to do it at the airport because he had a lot going on prior to and just didn't have the time to get it and then get results in time. So he was like, I'll just do it at the airport because I know that they're doing that. And then they never did it.
Jeez. So
I guess his line was different from my line. He came in a different time. I don't really know. He just said that no one asked him about COVID or anything, period. He just walked straight up to the counter. And then it's like, all right, so I guess they're not caring because...
That's like one of those, like, you ever see people online that sneak into big sporting events because they just act like they belong and they just say, yep. They just dress the right way. They look the right way. They just, they're very confident and they just walk through it and they can end up sideline at the Super Bowl or down right on top of the octagon at a UFC fight. And that's kind of what it sounds like is going on here. And that's the one thing I was wondering, if I had some international travel booked, like in your example, or the guy that you said that didn't even get a test. So if you, basically you went through the process of going somewhere near where you live, getting a test, waiting the 2 days to get it back, bringing that with you to the airport. And other people are just like, you know what, I'll just get tested in Punta Cana, which they don't come out and say that, like, you need this to enter. But do they tell you, like, we'll test you at the airport and you'll get an instant result? Because that's the one thing I'm like, you know, some results here back in the States where I live, it's 2, 3, up to 5 days to wait for results. But if you get tested in the Punta Cana airport, you get them instantly, or you have to wait for them, or they'll tell you later at your hotel. Like, that's where I'm kind of, you know, all over the place of things I've been hearing and seeing.
And no, it is a rapid one. So you would have get your results right then.
Okay.
So you might have to wait a little bit. I haven't talked to any agent who did, if anyone did get, so that I'm on the quest to find that. If there is anyone here that did get tested at the airport.
And they would probably have to pay for that too, right?
Yeah. From what I know and what I've gathered from reading everything in the DR stuff, no, you don't have to pay a fee on that. I haven't seen anything on that. But I do know that they're eliminating that. They're eliminating, as we mentioned earlier, you know, at the end of September, when more people are going to be coming in, most likely, is since they are eliminating that, I think the bookings are going to increase because you'll have, just as you've seen in Mexico, people are comfortable going there because you don't have to get COVID tested. You can just show up and be there. You know, you fill out your questionnaire thing and then you turn that in, or if they even ask for it, you know, which they didn't in Cancun and they didn't here.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it's interesting to hear that both places, even though they're requiring, they didn't, you know, ask to see the papers or paperwork with it. You know, I was kind of wondering, like, what the actual papers for these, you know, fake things look like. Is there a black market for people selling a false positive or false negative COVID tests just so you can travel? I have no idea what this stuff even looks like or how it works, but it sounds like it's kind of like what I was saying earlier. Loosey-goosey could be the term, I guess. But if the DR is going to drop that anyway, I guess they're kind of on the way out as it is.
Right, yeah. And what they've said they're going to be doing is there'll be random testing at the airport. So I guess if you fill out, maybe they'll pay attention more to that questionnaire sheet. And if you fill out something that you've had a cough, or if they see you cough or sneeze or anything in line, which I did see a guy cough in the immigration line. And I'm looking around like, is anyone going to, like, check this guy out, or like, what what's going on here, man? He just coughed. I mean, it could have been, you know, we had something caught in his throat or something. I don't know, but jeez. I just thought that was interesting. Like, of all the places that you gotta cough, and you cough in this immigration line, and nobody did anything. Like, that was a little alarming to me, but
jeez, dude, that's the one. Yeah, they're going to be looking for the most sickly looking people to do random, you know, quote unquote random tests for. And for me, like right now, I was doing yard work this past weekend. It was I just got these nasty allergies, and I'm like just sneezing, have a runny nose, and every now and then I have to cough. And if I'm in public and I have to cough, I'm just like, oh god, if I even like clear my throat or cough at like just a one off here or there, people are going to look at me like they just want to ostracize me from society.
Oh, I've definitely seen it at the airport, man. Like someone, this was I think a month ago when I was there. Somebody coughed, and I have never seen that many heads turn so fast in my life. You're like, whoa, what? Rona, you know. Jeez. People shouting. So yeah. It will be interesting to see if they actually stick. If this is just they're just saying they're going to random test, and whether or not they actually do that, or if that's just saying it for like a peace of mind type of thing. Because if you know, if you're traveling here and you get randomly, you know, pulled out, and you know, I just feel like that could create some scenes, you know, of people who don't want to. Hopefully people will comply and be like, okay, you know, I'll do it or whatever. But I just don't know how random stuff is going to go. It was a pretty easy process in getting COVID tested myself, and I got the results in 2 days. They said it would be 2 to 3 business days. I got it in 2. So, but that's their thing. You know, they see how successful Mexico is already doing. We just published stories in the last week or so that Cancun tourism is increasing. You know, their occupancy obviously is still, you can't have, it's only 30% in Cancun. They're eyeing 60%, I think, by October. Here in the DR, it's only 30% as well. And once they make these rule changes, you know, come wintertime, maybe in November, December, they might be eyeing larger as well. It depends on how the bookings go, probably, you know, for the end of September and into October from there. But it right now here at the hotel that I'm at is like 15% occupied. Like, it's not crowded at all. So.
Yeah, man. Well, that's what I want to get into there. So yeah, if you're at the airport and people are starting to randomly select people, just get your cell phone cameras ready and send them to Eric so that we can do a story on any of the naughty passengers that are going to come up in all these stop and frisking. Although, you know, I guess less of the frisking part now that you have to stay 6 feet away from people. But that's besides the point. Let's talk about your hotel experience as it is. The transfers to the property, the property itself, just in general, like agents that aren't on that trip, that you said there's 40 or so different agents that are there. What are they experiencing? I know they're doing a lot of probably site inspections, things like that. What has, you know, some of the things that you've picked up and seen, what are some of the things that these advisors are most likely going to be bringing back to their clients, and what can the advisors listening right now, kind of what can you give them that would be able to help them push the property and the DR in general?
Yeah. So the cleaning protocols in place are really good here. My room, you know, it's got that sticker over the door. My butler came in and he showed me the room, but I was the one who opened the door. He told me I had to do it. And I came in and he was like, hey, you know, may I come in? They asked that instead of just like, oh, sometimes, you know, pre-COVID, it was, they would open the door for you and show you in and say, welcome. And like, here's your room. This is what this does. This is what this does. Here's the TV, blah, blah, blah. But this time he's like, yo, may I come in? And I could have just been like, nah, you know, I'm good. I got this, if I didn't want him to. But I had him come in and show me the room a little bit and talk about it, and how to, you know, my remote was wrapped in plastic. I had a welcome bottle of wine, which was really awesome. But the cup here is wrapped in plastic. So a lot more stuff, silverware at the dinner stuff was wrapped in plastic, a lot more stuff wrapped in plastic. So I need to figure out, you know, how they're handling that for anyone who is conscious about, you know, the extra use of plastic and all that. But yeah, the cleaning protocols in place here are really strong. I feel safe. I know the agents that I talked to have feel safe, and they can send their clients knowing that what they've experienced, if they have experienced anything in Cancun, is very similar here. It is safe. I definitely feel safer here than I have, you know, going out to some places in public back where I live in Georgia. And yeah, all the employees are wearing masks. Guests are not really wearing masks, you know, when they're out by the pool or at the beach or anything like that, but that's pretty standard. You're here, in the indoor spaces, you know, in the lobby when I checked in, people were wearing masks. So that was good to see. And like, you know, I understand, you know, people may not want to travel right now, and I totally get that. But being here and having gone through the process and at the airport, both airports and in the immigration line, like, I feel safe. I'm good. I'm excited to be here. I know a lot of travel agents are excited to be here and to showcase to their advisor or their clients, excuse me, and that this is okay to be here.
Yeah, and from everything that I've seen and heard of as well, it sounds like every precaution is being taken in place by the staff of the hotels, the transfers, you know, at the airports. They're doing everything that they can. And for people that are comfortable enough traveling right now, I don't see, you know, why you shouldn't, whether it's international, domestic. I think all of the protocols are being met. We haven't seen anything come out really that it says that this company isn't doing this. They're not meeting up to the standards of this. Everything is going above and beyond. Now it's just, you know, whether or not you feel comfortable. Like you said, there's people that are out by the pools. I experienced it in my recent travels as well. Once people are at where they're at, they, you know, are sitting by the pool, they're at a restaurant, they're walking by outside somewhere. A lot of people aren't going to be putting on the masks, but it's still a lot safer than some other people. The messages we've gotten from advisors saying that you're more likely to catch it in your grocery store back home, or you're more likely to get it, you know, walking around back at home. And, you know, it's the same thing, whether you're on vacation, you know, somewhere else. You know, a lot of people aren't wearing them when they get up and they walk from one place to the next. They get up to go to the bathroom. Not every person was putting them on. Some people were, some people weren't. But it wasn't uncomfortable enough to me to scare me away from experiencing what we wanted to go and do. Now, obviously, if you have, you know, health conditions or other stuff, then yeah, maybe it's not the most ideal time for you to go up and just book a trip. If, you know, you had some underlying health issues, or if you wouldn't be comfortable, or, you know, just don't, you know, want to do that, then obviously, you know, don't stay at home.
Right.
But yeah, everybody's going to be different. Everybody's experience and thoughts on the stuff is going to be different. So, but yeah, from everything that we've seen in here, you know, heard it straight from somebody here in the DR right now.
Yeah. I mean, there are hand sanitizer stuff all throughout the resort, which is great. I know I've used that every time I've gone. Anytime I see it, I'm just like, yeah, I'll take that, rub it up and good to go. Not every restaurant is open. Like, they're kind of spaced out as far as what is open. So like the buffet closest to me was not open this morning for breakfast. So I had to walk, you know, 20 feet further to go get my food, which, oh no, so terrible. You know, you gotta pay attention to like the timing and the hours on that. So that is a little different in the experience, but that's to be expected right now, because you've got to take these extra measures right now because of everything going on, but we still want people to travel, you know. It is what it is. So I have noticed that. Looking forward to eating more here, obviously, because if you know me, you know I love food. So I'm excited to that. I haven't done room service here. I did it at the Cancun Resort, and that was probably going to actually once we finish this podcast up and check that out, see what that experience is like. I know that it'll be delivered to me with a mask on, and it'll be delivered in, you know, plastic wrapped ups and a little bit different from what room service typically is, but that's the new normal that we're in right now.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think between all of that, everything, it sounds good. It sounds like people can look forward to looking at the different content that's going to come out of this this stay between you and all the different advisors. So stay tuned for all of that to see a lot of other things. And if you have any questions about this, I mean, you can reach out to our podcast email, which is podcast@travelpulse.com, with any thoughts, insights, maybe some experiences you've had with selling clients, or if you're a traveler, different travel experiences you've had. We're very open to hearing that. Leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts while you're at it. Eric, do you want to let people know where they can follow you along your journey and reach out to you with any questions, comments, or concerns?
For sure. Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram @EricBowman_. You got to throw that underscore at the end. Although I think if you just type in my name, I'll probably come up, because I'm the most active Eric Bowman, the original Eric Bowman, not the original. I'm going to say I'm the original. Yeah. The person who has just my name without the underscore hasn't tweeted since like 2011. So I think he should just get out of there. Twitter should just eliminate him, but that's @EricBowman_. I'll be tweeting and posting on Instagram various pictures throughout my stay. If you have any questions, you can hit up that. You can also email me. It's ebowman@travelpulse.com. And I'm looking forward to experiencing the rest of this, talking to a few more agents. Playa Hotels and Resorts was like the first to launch the work and learn. They're calling it the Work and Learn from Paradise program. A lot of other resorts kind of followed suit after that and have their own work and learn programs set up. So I'm intrigued to see how that's been. I know that they have received a lot of bookings from that. So I'm going to get some numbers on that. I'm going to do some interviews, and I have some video content up on Travel Pulse later this week and into next week. So stay tuned for that.
Awesome. All good stuff. Thank you again, everybody, for listening to this special international edition of the Travel Pulse podcast. Leave us a review, send us an email, whatever you want to do, and we'll look forward to next week's episode. We'll see you then.